Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message on people who are intimate with God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of people who are intimate with God.
Stuart, the reason Daniel could take such a stand was because he had an intimate relationship with God. Repeatedly, we read in the book of Daniel about this intimacy. He had a powerful prayer life, Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 6. The Lord revealed to him intimate details concerning his future plans, Daniel chapter 2. He showed Daniel the interpretation of things that no one else could understand, Daniel chapter 5. God sent an angel to answer one of Daniel's prayers, Daniel chapter 10. And God revealed to him events concerning end times, Daniel chapter 9. Look at the intimacy in this relationship. And is it any wonder that when Daniel's faith was put to the test, why he stood because there was that intimacy with God. One songwriter put it like this: standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, trusting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Those who are intimate with God stand for God. Secondly, those who are intimate with God make great sacrifices for Him. So again, we have the arrow going out because these sacrifices are birthed out of intimacy. And when the sacrifices are being done because they might be challenged or they might be questioned, they are rooted back where? Right back into intimacy. And that's the reason why you can be steadfast, because you know it comes out of intimacy with God, and you can stand because it's rooted in the intimacy of God. David was a man who experienced extreme intimacy with God. David was referred to as the sweet psalmist of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. Can you imagine to have such a title? The sweet psalmist of Israel. What does that mean? That means that David was accountable for more psalms than anybody else. And he worshiped God, he praised God, he cried out to God, he heard God, and there was just a deep intimacy in this relationship between David and God. Secondly, it says in 1 Samuel 13 and 14 that David was a man after God's own heart. You're talking about intimacy. Wouldn't you like to be known by that in heaven? That Brother Bill is a man after God's own heart. What an identification to have. Something that we should all strive for, to be a person after God's own heart. And then, as I said earlier, David wrote more psalms than anybody else, which exhibited his deep and intimate relationship with him. Look at Psalm 139 real quick. Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, we get a glimpse of this intimacy that David had with God. If you'll notice the superscription, which is the words that come before the psalm, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So David was the author of the psalm, as many believe. And look what he says in verse 1. Oh, search, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. What intimacy! Thou hast known my downsitting and my uprising, and understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art quieted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Lord, I don't understand this intimacy that we have together. Where can I go to flee from your spirit? Or where can I go to flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thou lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light, and both are like to thee. Even, Lord, when I was born, he says that you possessed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. That's intimacy. And if you go on and read the rest of the psalm, he even describes this relationship in that much more intimacy. And so David was one who experienced intimacy with God. Fast forward. On one occasion, David took his eyes off of God. And he numbered the people, and God didn't want him to number the people. And in 2 Samuel 24, we read that. But in another place, it says that Satan enticed David to number the people. And so David numbers the people, and God is upset with David. And so he throws out to David. He says that I'm going to have to bring judgment upon the people because of this deed that has been done. And so God says, I'm going to give you three options. And David took the option where a plague was among the people. And it grieved David's heart that he had allowed this, that he had brought this thing upon Israel. And if you'll turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24, 2 Samuel chapter 24, David cries out to the Lord, and he says, Lord, remove this plague. Take this plague away from me. And so God tells him to go down to this place with a man by the name of Araunah. And he said, go to Araunah, buy a threshing floor, and make a sacrifice. Bring your animals, bring your wood, bring everything, and offer up an offering. And God said, I'll take away the plague. And so David goes down there to tell Araunah, you know, what God told him. And as he tells him this, Araunah says, oh, no. He said, man, look. He said, you're the king. He said, you know, I'm going to give you the threshing floor. And as a matter of fact, I'm not only going to give you the threshing floor, I'm going to give you the wood, and I want to give you the animals to sacrifice. And David, here's what Araunah says. And look what David says in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 4. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. People who are intimate with God sacrifice for him. That even when it's inconvenient, even when you are called to go the extra mile, that you make the sacrifice because you have been intimate with God. You know, think about this. Even in human relationships, when two people love each other, what do? They make sacrifices for each other. We all know the song. This song, so powerful that Pastor James Ford in Chicago has written a book. And the title of the book is When a Man Loves a Woman. And he took it from that song by Percy Sledge. And the song, some words in the song go like this. When a man loves a woman, he will spend his very last dime trying to hold on to what he needs. He give up all his comforts and sleep out in the rain if she says that's the way it ought to be. Now you tell me, is that sacrifice? Is that sacrifice? He'll give up all his creature comforts, your big screen TV, your reclining chair, your house that's over your head, your nice cozy slippers. You'll give it all up if that lady says you need to go sleep out in the rain. How many brothers are there? But what do people do in relationships? What do they do? They make sacrifices. And so it is in this intimacy with God that we make sacrifices. And see, this is the problem. And again, I say this to me, I think it all goes back to intimacy. You know, why people are not all in. Some people are halfway in. Some people are three quarters of the way in. But they're not all the way in because they haven't been in that intimate place with God. That when you become intimate with God, then you're all in. Lord, I'll say yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I agree. And the answer will be yes. Oh, yes. See, some of us are like the pig and the chicken that went to breakfast. And as they walked into the restaurant, there was a sign on the window that said bacon and egg breakfast, $4.99. And the chicken stuck out his chest and he proudly said, "A member of my family contributed to this breakfast." And the pig replied, "That might be so, but a member of my family made a sacrifice for this breakfast." Some of y'all get that about 1 o'clock. All right. Chicken, right? The chicken, his family was involved, right? All they had to do was lay an egg and go on with their life. But if you're eating bacon, there's a dead pig somewhere. There's a pig that made a sacrifice. And so as we look at this intimacy with God, we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, have I made sacrifices for him? Based upon our times together, our quiet times together, have I made sacrifices for him? I tell a story in one of the sermons that I preach, and the story illustrates the fact that we don't want to make sacrifices. And when God calls us to make a sacrifice, we balk at it. We hold back. But David said, "Here, I will not offer unto the Lord that which costs me nothing." And the story that I tell is about this lady who had a birthday party for one of her children. And she had hired some clowns to come perform at this birthday party. But the clowns didn't show up. And so the kids began to get bored, and you know, they started throwing cake and ice cream all over the place, and the party just was terrible, you know, bummer. And so there was two homeless people, and they knocked on the door, and they asked the lady, "Is there anything we can do to earn some money? You know, we're hungry." And the lady said, "Well, I got a pile of wood out back. If you go chop that wood, you know, I'll pay you $50 for chopping the wood." They said, "Oh, wow." So they went out there, and they started chopping the wood. And all of a sudden, one of the homeless men started jumping up and doing somersaults, doing flips, doing cartwheels. And the kids saw it, and they started cheering. "Yeah, yeah, yeah." They started screaming, "Oh, this is great." And the homeless man, he was laying over there on the ground, rolling around. And, you know, the lady went out to the other homeless guy, and she said, "Wow, that was great." She said, "He's the life of the party." She said, "Do you think I could get him to do that again for another $50? He said, "I don't know. I'll go ask him." And the man was laying on the ground, and she went over there. One homeless guy went over there. He said, "Hey, that lady wants to know if you'll chop off another finger for $50. Can you imagine? Can you imagine as the guy laid there? "Oh, no! Not another sacrifice. Oh no, not another finger. And you know, that, sadly to say, that's the attitude of people a lot of times when God calls on them. Oh no, Lord, not something else. Oh no, Lord, not another this, not another that. You know, and we have a hard time making sacrifice of not something that the pastor or the deacons or another church member, but something that God has asked us to do. We struggle with it, and I believe that a part of that goes right back to this fact of being intimate. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David, a man after God's own heart. David, a man that wrote more psalms than anybody else, said, I will not offer unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. People who are intimate with God, they take a great stand for God. They make great sacrifices for God. And then finally, they render great service for God. They render great service for God. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verse 10, he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said that I might know him. Now this word know is very interesting. It's the Greek word gnosko. And it means more than just having an intellectual knowledge. It means having a personal, intimate relationship with Christ. Paul said that I may know him, that I may know him from experience, that I may know him from intimacy, that I may know him, that I might know the power of his resurrection, that I might know what it's like to have the power to overcome, but more importantly, that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Have you ever had somebody that's been in the struggle with you? Have you ever had somebody that when you were down and out, they stood with you through thick and thin? Have you ever had somebody who knew what it was like for you to go through a time of suffering and hurting? Paul said, I want to know Christ like that. I want to be intimate with Christ in that way. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. People who know God, people who know God do great service for God. Look in the book of Acts as we read about Paul's statement. Acts chapter 27 and verse 23. Acts chapter 27 and verse 23. And here Paul is on his way to Rome to be tried by Caesar. And he's on this boat and a great storm comes. And many men were fearful because they thought they were going to lose their life. And Paul stands up and he tells them everything is going to be all right. Look what he says in verse 23. He said, well, there stood by me this night an angel whose I am and who the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He said, everybody's going to be safe. Don't worry about it. Even though this storm might be great, don't worry about it. But look what he says in verse 23. This is what captures my attention. He says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, the God who I belong to, and look what he says there, and who I serve, the God who I serve. Paul's service was birthed out of intimacy with God. And if you look at Paul, you'll see that Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. Paul had 3 missionary journeys. Paul was beaten. Paul was left for dead. Paul was shipwrecked, and he did it all in service for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many people know that if you are on a gallows and somebody is taking a whip and ripping your back wide open 39 times on 3 different occasions, what keeps you once you've been beaten, What keeps you getting up and keeping on going to serve? Intimacy, that I might know. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What keeps you when you have been stoned to the point where people think you are dead and left you there? What keeps you getting up, continuing to serve? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What kept him going? What kept him moving? The thing that kept him moving is that he had been intimate with God. And he realized that he belonged to God, and he realized that he served God. Somebody said, this Indian proverb that I read, it said, do not dance in public without first dancing in private. Don't dance in public. You know, my niece is getting married. And, when my wife and I got saved, my wife and I, we used to be in the world, Jack. I'm going to tell you what. And we knew all the dances, and we could dance, and we could do all that stuff. And we got saved, the church that we belonged to, they told us that it was sinful, that you're going to go to hell if you. So we stopped dancing. We cut out all connection with dancing and everything, right? So, I'm thinking, man, my salvation is dependent on, me not dancing. So a lot of dancers came and went without me knowing about them. And now that I'm a pastor, it was funny. When I used to pastor in Virginia, I'd do a wedding. We go to the wedding, and after we go to reception, and people would just sit there the whole wedding. Until I left. Then they get loose, man. They get loose. Get up, get down, get loose. They get, right? But up here, y'all don't care, man. Preacher be right there, y'all don't care. So me and my wife, we said that at my niece's wedding, when they play electric slide, the Cupid shuffle, yeah, we said we're going to learn those, right, so that we can celebrate my niece getting married. So we're going to learn them. So we've been going on YouTube and, See, what does that proverb say? Don't dance in public. Without dancing in private, right? So you need to make sure you got it down whenever you get ready to get out there on the floor. All right. I saw y'all at that last one. Amanda sitting over there. I saw the people at your wedding, Amanda. All right. And that's true spiritually. The fact is that don't get out here and try to serve God without first being intimate with him. Dance with God in intimacy. So that you can dance when you serve him out in the public. And that's directly connected back to the intimate times with God. People who are intimate with God, they take great stands for him, they make great sacrifices for him, and they render great service for him. Are you intimate with the Father?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time as Dr. Glaze continues to anchor your soul in the Lord through his expository teaching of the Word of God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, People Who Are Intimate with God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request People Who Are Intimate with God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request People Who Are Intimate with God, or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at the Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.